This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter, beginning with the 25th verse. An expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You've given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to vindicate himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and took off, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came upon him, and he was moved with compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, treating them with oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spent.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The priest was in a rush. The Levite was late for a meeting. The priest gave that closed-lipped smile and kept on his business. The Levite hadn't seen his family all day, and that baby might be crawling by now. The priest had to get to the store before it closed down for the day. The Levite lost the donkey and was chasing after him. The priest used all of his extrovert tokens, and it was time for a nap. The Levite prayed for the poor, hungry, and homeless all day. And it was exhausting. The priest spent the day writing a sermon about God's healing and mercy and skipped lunch. The Levite rounded up his total at the grocery store to benefit the children's hospital. The priest reposted a Bible verse about God dying for sins and loving people. The Levite saw that guy getting in trouble, maybe he needed to learn a lesson. The priest watched that guy leave church without putting money in the offering. The Levite heard that guy takes free handouts, but couldn't he just get a job already? The priest assumed that that guy wouldn't help him if he was in need, so why stop? The Levite was looking for someone else to help. The priest was focused on Jesus calling him to help anybody else. But the Samaritan, who would have been hated, who was probably called names, who wasn't from here, who shouldn't have been around, who wasn't up to any good, who shouldn't care about these people, this man, moved with compassion, bent down. Blessed are the merciful. When mercy is inconvenient, when mercy is hard, when mercy feels insignificant and undeserved, when mercy hurts, when mercy doesn't give me back anything, when mercy doesn't even say thank you, and when mercy is needed the most. And this parable, this story, this example is in response to the right answer, the right thing. The expert in the law knows it. He asks Jesus about eternal life. How do I get that eternal life? And Jesus says, "What do you think? How do you interpret the law? What do you think you do with that?" And he gives the right answer. He says, "Love your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus says, "You got the right answer." But somewhere, knowing and participating are 2 different experiences for us. We function much more out of the things we're moved to, our feelings and our emotions, rather than out of reason and logic and knowing right answers. So I consulted my local law expert, my law student brother. He's finished 1 year of Hamline Law, so, he could answer this question. The Good Samaritan Law in Minnesota, it's in a few other states, here's how he summarized it for me. If you see someone hurt or in physical danger and you can help them or call 911 without any risk to yourself and you don't do that, you can get charged with a misdemeanor. He couldn't find any instances where that has actually happened, so it's there, but... Also, if you help someone and accidentally injure them, like if you give them CPR, they can't sue you. And that's our Good Samaritan Law. So somewhere in our community, our state, we decided that taking care of people was valuable and ethical and good enough to protect with legislation of the people. But like speeding laws don't exactly keep my car at the exact speed limit around town, I don't think a Good Samaritan Law is motivating anyone to be a helper in every single instance that they see a need. And the law might not do that, but the gospel is trying to. Jesus is calling on the helpers. And here is the obligatory Mr. Rogers quote on Good Samaritan Sunday: look for the helpers. More, Jesus is saying, be the helper. Look for them, sure, and then join in with them. Don't stand by and assume someone else is better to help, or don't watch or point or stare or laugh or criticize the needy because they're in need. That's not for us to judge, it's for us to meet. Franz Leinhard summarized it in this quote: one cannot define one's neighbor, one can only be a neighbor. But there's good news of the gospel in this passage too. God wants good for us. God wants us moved with compassion in our lives. And the good news shows up in places like John 13, where Jesus gives a new commandment to love as I have loved you. We have already been loved. We get to rest in that love first. Sometimes we jump into the gotta love, but Jesus has already done that for us first. So there is love for the anxiety of this neighbor thing. There is grace for the hoping for a better community and world. There is holiness in a bravery to try, even little steps, because Jesus doesn't demand transformation as we walk out the door today, but Jesus promises transformation in the death and resurrection with life for all and forgiveness of sins and belonging into a family that transforms us as we're there. So as you contemplate neighbors, be open to just a little more compassion. Be aware of how you perceive the ones that you hold in a high status, like the priest and the Levite, when they don't perform how you expect them to. And don't be afraid to speak truth into the perceptions, like the bad reputation Samaritan who turned out to actually be the hero of this story, who showed mercy. Even as the law expert avoids naming the Samaritan in here, he just says the one who showed mercy was the one who was the neighbor. The Samaritan was the only one to help the man in need, going an extra mile, even two, to make sure that he received care and healing after being left half dead. And Jesus invites the law expert still into the truth. And the invitation is to reshape some of the ways that we see others, that we judge and assume based on their labels. In the kingdom of God, our actions speak louder than words. And mercy changes lives. Let's pray. O God of our salvation, we wonder in ceaseless prayer, who is our neighbor? Is our neighbor the one who comes morning after morning asking for a spare coin, the kid who kicked our political signs and vandalized our church, the famous politician who calls us names, the stranger next door, the one who leaves needles in the park. And you say, the neighbor is the one who shows mercy. You say, I am your neighbor. Teach us to recognize you among us. Amen.